Don't forget, if you haven't already, to make sure that you write a little thank you or a blessing or something on one of these little pennants that we're going to put together as a thank you and a gift to the Everett family, or mainly to Liz and to Ian. So that needs to be done today so it can be put together and given to them when they're here next weekend. So over your coffee, grab one and please do it. Today we're talking about healing the brokenhearted, and I guess many of you have actually read this book, The Heart of Stone. This is the story of Wah Stone, the guy behind Company of Grace. And we've said before, I think, a guy who crippled, walked with calipers and whatever else, and yet when we've seen things, particularly David Richardson sharing with us, we've caught up with some of the incredible facts of what's happened. So we're talking about heart. The heart that this bloke had was enormous, and the heart that he had for disabled people in Vietnam was phenomenal. And it's just the story of one man and what he did with God and with his own heart and his compassion. So please grab a copy and read it, and then you'll know what's behind Company of Grace. Well, if you've got your little notes to follow, most people tell me that they're helpful. So today we're looking at the brokenhearted. Jesus comes to heal the broken heart and to bind up those with broken hearts. On the front, it says, Jesus mends broken hearts if we give him all the pieces. If we're prepared to give him all the pieces. So, friends, where have we gone? Well, this is where we've gone. We had John the Baptist coming after a period of some 400 years of silence. We had the fulfilment of enormous prophecies about Jesus, some very small things, but incredible fulfilment. Then we had the baptism and temptation, the preparation for ministry, and the preparation for us for ministry. What we're learning with the Messiah is that not only does he come as our Messiah, but he comes with incredible challenges for us. We don't just say, oh, this is wonderful, this is Jesus. Actually, he was baptized, he was tempted, those things are going to happen to us, but boom, that was the start of his ministry. So what's he say to us? Get out there and do something. That's what he's saying here. This is the Messiah. Otherwise, he needn't have come. And then last week, the good news of the gospel. How incredible. David read to us. This is what he did. Amazing. Jesus, this is our Messiah, the one who was smitten, afflicted, pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, and he comes to us as the living Saviour. Some of you are medical. Who have we got here? Michael, you may need to tell me if I'm correct here. I looked again and thought through some of this stuff. And what I understand is that the pericardium sac, which is like a membrane around our heart. And what happens is that when the heart ruptures, or something serious happens to it, blood leaks from the heart and it fills this, and then the blood separates and there's a watery substance called a plasmary stuff. And I understand from what I read that when the spear was put in, out came water and blood. So that if someone came with a carving knife and just stabbed me, I think out would just come blood, probably blue, but I'm not sure. But out would come blood, or maybe ice water. But this, I think, am I right, Michael? You're the medico?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It sounds about right. So all I'm saying is, isn't it amazing that the Jesus who heals broken hearts is the one who dies of a broken heart? I don't know what we want to put with the reasons why he would have died from a broken heart, but amazing things. You can ponder what would have caused Jesus to have a broken heart or a sad heart. Friends, what breaks our heart? What breaks your heart that Jesus might need to pour oil on and mend? Because it's no good talking about Jesus healing broken hearts and pouring oil on for anointing or healing if we haven't got a broken heart. So, what are the things? Well, these are some of the things. Broken relationships. I would suggest that amongst our congregation today, most people know of some broken relationship. Not necessarily a broken relationship that you've had, but you know people with marital breakdowns. Some of you have got adult children who have gone through divorce and that's broken your heart. Some of you with in-law problems, bitterness, jealousy, words that have been spoken that have caused a broken relationship that needs to be healed or restored. What about your children? Some of you have perhaps struggled to get pregnant at some stage. Others have struggled through IVF. Some have had miscarriages and cot deaths, and that's broken your heart. Dealing with a disabled child or a disabled relative. Wrong decisions. Kids who should be now adult workers or leaders in the church. Kids that you thought you brought up in the right way. All of us brought up in the right way. But they're nowhere near the church now. I am sometimes very concerned when I talk to people in churches about their adult children, and they say, oh, they're good citizens. Oh, they lead good lives. And I really want to say, so what? We want our kids to be followers of Jesus. That's what we want our adult kids to be. So I hope that those of you who've got kids who aren't where they should be are praying that they'll come back to where they should be, and that our hearts will be healed and restored. So, children, what about the if-onlys of life? Some of those things have broken people's hearts. If only this had happened, if only that had happened, if only this. Death and illness. Living with that situation. I'm going to Melbourne tomorrow to take a funeral on Tuesday of someone, and an older person, but I don't think it matters what age a person dies. At one sense, there's always heartache. But what saddens me, not when a child dies, although I think that is incredibly traumatic and it must be sad for parents who have a child die, but if a child dies and they've had a simple faith in Jesus, how wonderful. What saddens me and sometimes causes me great concern is when someone in their 80s or 90s who have heard about Jesus dies without faith. That is far sadder, and that surely should be breaking some of our hearts. Misunderstandings, lack of forgiveness, loss of friendships, family breakups, breakdowns. A couple of ladies have shared with me at Brighton Light about the family situations. They're not talking. people aren't talking to each other over stupid things. And it just seems to occupy their thinking and, oh, their whole emotion is broken apart. The world situation, does that affect anyone? Is any one of us really upset about that? What about church experiences? That breaks people's hearts. I don't know whether that breaks God's heart more when his people break apart, argue, leave, accuse each other. Not sure whether that breaks his heart more. I think perhaps it does, because Jesus came to bring peace to us and a relationship. But how silly we can be sometimes in churches and leave over things that don't really matter when the world is dying without Jesus. How mad can we be? And then there are other things. So friends, this is just a list that I put together, and it's not extensive. But I would be surprised if there's someone here this morning who doesn't have one of those things that their heart is affected by. Jesus dies in order that we might know restoration, and he comes as the one to bind up. It's interesting, isn't it, in the story that we know so well of the Good Samaritan. What does he do? Jump off his camel or his horse and binds up and pours on oil. And this is what Jesus does too. Binds up the brokenhearted and pours oil for healing on our suffering. Friends, what are some of the signs of a broken heart? Well, again, this is not extensive, but this just puts together a few things. Sometimes people with a broken heart are untrusting in a relationship. It's interesting, isn't it? If someone has hurt us, we don't feel secure to go into another relationship or to entrust ourselves to another relationship. So some people say, oh, just get on with it. Just get on with it. Unfortunately, when we're told to just get on with it and we suppress it, it sometimes explodes later. We need to work through a broken heart, and we need to work through it in an appropriate way. Secondly, we might become a person that I've got there, fear, anxiety, and worry. If people have been damaged, as it were, by domestic violence or a lack of love, then if the people who should have loved us haven't loved us, then we find that we can be anxious, fearful, or worrying. We need to be careful. Pardon me. The third thing is that it's possible that people who have a broken heart are very angry. I worked with a lady, a counsellor in Victoria, and she used to say that this is the heart of many men, anger. We just heard today, as we were travelling across, that 6 men in Australia every day commit suicide. Now, what is that the result of? Anger, frustration, sadness, things that can't be coped with. Who knows? Mental health, I guess. So friends, possible signs can be untrusting in relationships, and I've got some little hearts here that I'm going to put. So it could be untrusting in relationship. Oops. It could be fear, anxiety, and worry in an unrealistic way, or it could be angry reaction. It's good sometimes to just check those things. as we go on, sometimes health issues. Now, as we get old, of course, the body reacts. But sometimes there are reactions in our body. I've got fingers that are a bit arthritic. But people say that arthritis can be a sign of unresolved tension and anger. All sorts of things can come in. And we just need to check where we're at. But health issues. Died of a broken heart. It was only a few years ago that doctors were able to write that on a death certificate. And there is a thing called a syndrome, a dying heart syndrome. The people say that if you've been married for a long time and your partner dies, within 5 years, if you die within 5 years, they can put died of a broken heart. It's interesting, isn't it? What death can do to people. So health issues, we know, don't we? We know that if we are sick, it's not only tummy that aches, but head that reacts, body reacts. We're a mixture of bits and pieces. Some people, when they're in this situation, who have an upset or a sign of a broken heart, they're almost paralysed. You may have met someone who's had a traumatic experience, and all of a sudden you think, why are they stuck? Why do they behave like that? They're robotic. They just operate, but they're not really operating. Well, sometimes a broken heart, a traumatic experience, paralyses a person and they're stuck. And they can't get on beyond that, which is so sad. Sometimes you'll find a child who has been abused is operating like an 8-year-old child. Why? They're an 18 or 28-year-old adult because they were abused at 8 and they can't get past that trauma. Their heart is broken. And then the last one, and it's interesting that we have 2 AA meetings here and an Al-Anon meeting, addictions. It's interesting that sometimes when people have got a broken heart or have been damaged in some way, that they become addicted to something else. And as we know, alcohol is one of the easy ones. An emptiness and a hurt. Three other hearts that I can put up here. Health issues can be an indication. Stuck in life, robotic, can be an indication. And an addiction can be an indication. So what does Jesus do? He comes to break those addictions. He comes to open up the broken heart and then to bind it and to heal it. So friends, the last little thing that I've got there is, what can we do? What can we do? Jesus heals the brokenhearted. He's near to the broken heart. So today, if you're a brokenhearted person over something, what can Jesus do for you? And how can you respond to that? Well, it seems logical, but maybe basic, to reaffirm your trust in Jesus, even though the situation is painful. Please, if you're a believer, Jesus heals broken hearts. He's near to the crushed in spirit. Please reaffirm your faith in him. Yell out to God. Friends, we've got the book of Psalms. All of those people yelled out. What did they say? I'm up to my neck in muck. All of my enemies are against me. Isn't that amazing? And yet we say, oh no. As Christians, we need to be polite. We need to be careful what we say to God. God's understanding our brain. Of course we can say what we like to God. And when we're upset and angry and our heart is broken over things maybe beyond our control, God, what is going on? I am cross. I am angry. Please, please help me. I've got there that we can cry and yell. We've got Psalms, but we've also got Lamentations. People lamented. People cried. People were upset. We're emotional people. We have feelings. We have thoughts. So let's not avoid them and pretend they don't exist. If Jesus is near to the brokenhearted, and we believe the word of God, don't push him away because of your pain. Allow him to come and minister in the pain that you've got. That's okay. He may not be able to cure the situation in the sense of, if you've got a disease, he doesn't necessarily come in and go, snap, snap, you're right. But he is the healer, the one who comes in and brings you to himself in healing. And that really is Christian healing. Healing and wholeness go together. Healing and salvation go together. So he comes and he reassures us in order that we as his people draw near to him and he heals us. Not always a cure, but always, always healing. So allow Jesus to bind up your wounds and pour his oil of healing on you and on me. How does that come? Well, it comes through reading the Bible. It comes through friends. The Good Samaritan had this bloke who came along and took him to the pub to be looked after. How wonderful. Some of our friends gather around as part of our healing of a broken heart. We've got each other. We've got each other. So we need to draw near to those who are brokenhearted in our congregation and minister to them. And then, friends, the last thing, is that we need to make sure that we keep eternity in perspective. Yep, there are horrible things that happen on earth, and I guess there will be till Jesus comes. But we are people who, yes, we're living on earth, but we're looking to eternity, and our values are eternal. So Jesus comes, he heals broken hearts, he binds us up, that's all wonderful. But there will come a day, how wonderful, when Jesus comes or we go to be with him and all healing will be taken care of. Won't that be wonderful? Won't that be wonderful? All of you who have got allergies or other bits and pieces that aren't right, that'll all be fixed and we'll be in heaven. So friends, yes, there are broken hearts. Yes, Jesus can heal a broken heart if we give him all the bits. But let's add to that, that there is an eternal perspective to keep in mind with whatever is going on in our life. So broken hearts, allow Jesus to heal. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we come this morning, we thank you that part of the ministry of the Saviour, part of the ministry of our God, was that he would come and he would bind up the brokenhearted. And Father, for those who are brokenhearted here this morning, in whatever situation, please we ask that you would come as the great physician, that you would come as the healer, that you would come in a way as the Good Samaritan and pour oil on those wounds and bind up the brokenhearted in order that you might restore those who have aches, broken hearts, pain. Father, and allow us to be reminded that eternity is what we are looking at. Sadness on earth, yes. Heartache, broken heart, yes. But eternity as well. For that we thank you, and we look to that glorious day when Jesus will come again, and tears and pain and anguish will all be gone. Father, thank you for the Messiah who comes to bring healing to us. For we pray in his name. Amen. Right, we're going to remain seated as we sing our final song. So please remain seated. It really is a prayer in a way.